For us to begin tonight, we appreciate everyone's presence. We are going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Brother James. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, you, of course, are honored guest, and you're welcome back all this week. We'll be having services at this same hour, 7:30, and that will go through Friday. And James has been doing a good job preaching the gospel to us. We appreciate not only the work he's done for us this week, but all through the years, he has been a faithful gospel preacher and sound in doctrine and of course, has lived a good godly life. And so we appreciate the good influence he has had on many of us over the years. And so we're blessed to have him this week. We'll not take up a lot of his time. Let's go to our Heavenly Father, and then he'll come before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so thankful for this opportunity that we have this evening to study your word, to lift up our voice in song, and of course approach your throne in prayer. We're thankful for the various avenues of worship that we enjoy and that we're blessed with. We pray that we'll take advantage of them and that we'll be edified by our worship of you. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We realize how great you are. We realize that we can't even comprehend the depth of your greatness, but we know that you are indeed almighty, and we pray that we'll always give you the respect and the reverence that you deserve. We pray that you will be with Brother James tonight as he breaks into us the bread of life, that you will help him to deliver your word in a way that's understandable and true to the Bible, and we appreciate so much all the good work that he has done for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll take the things that he has taught and we'll continue to teach and make application of it to our day-to-day lives. Be with us now as we worship thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Good to see all of you this evening. I appreciate the presence of everybody. And I want to thank God for that he give us the health and strength and the will to be here tonight. And I thank you for coming. I just hope something can be said that will benefit each of us. I've been enjoying myself each night, and I had a good lunch today. Yeah, that's too big to call a lunch. Dinner. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed meeting the brother and sister and the two children, and I thank them for their hospitality. And I thank you all for having me to come. I really enjoy it. I can remember a lot of people from a long ways back. And I always appreciated. I was always influenced by the strong stand that the preachers, elders, and all of you all, brothers and sisters, taken on the authority of Jesus Christ. Y'all have shared a lot of have influenced me, and I'm sure others in that. And I thank you all for being here, all of you for being here tonight. And I just pray that if there are those sick among us, that they might feel better, and we keep them in our prayers and hope that God will give them back their help. And I thank all of you for being here tonight, and I'm glad to be able to be here. And I thank you for Brother Wright and Sister Janice. Brother Wright is a good man, a good preacher, and he got a good wife. My Uncle Robert said one time when he was recommending a preacher, He said, behind every good man there's a woman with a stick. He didn't say nothing about what she was doing with it. She kind of left that for you to infer that yourself. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. Now, brothers and sisters, I told you last night, and that there are some people that's too good for hell. I didn't say they wasn't going there. Don't infer that. But they're too good for hell, but they're not good enough for heaven. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the kind of folks I'm talking about. I have, and the folks that I've met in my life, because I ain't never met nobody I really didn't like. But at the same time, I met some folks that I considered good people that went out of their way. I can remember my grandmother. Grandma Shaw. I'm a Shaw on one side. And that woman wouldn't lie to you. She wouldn't do... I just remember as a child. I can remember. I can remember other people that wasn't related to me, but just downright good people. I remember, let me tell you all a little story. I remember in 1960. I was a pretty young man there. Me and my wife, Sister Hazel, had bought a little 56 Ford. I was in 1960. And we both. And we was taking a little trip on July the 4th. And I went up, after we got our car, to Stoner Insurance. And Mr. Stoner says, James, I'm going to sell you an insurance policy. I told him, all right. He said, be careful. He sold me a policy. And we got at Shelby in Maine and Louisville, Kentucky. That's the address. And we had stopped early in the morning to try to get a little rest. And I'm going to lay this on Sister Hazel. She wouldn't mind it. I told her many times why she lived. I was sleeping, but she wasn't. And she said, get up. I want to get away from here. At that time, they didn't have a real nice truck stop like they got now. So I got up, and the traffic makes a change in Louisville at Shelby in Maine. It wasn't on Sears, but it was an accident. I pulled in front of somebody, and he didn't do nothing, but he broke my window and my rocket panel. And guess what? One reason she was afraid, it was pouring down rain, storming. And we had a couple of kids in the car. And it was the nicest cop I ever met. We pulled over. The man was driving a car that was 1 year old, New York Chrysler. He lived over in Indiana. And the police come and told us, turn it into your insurance company. But some people was going to work that morning at a dry cleaner. And the corner of Shelby and Maine, the dry cleaners were sitting right there. The police says, you can't drive that car the way it's raining with them chewing and stuff in there. It was pouring down. And these folks stepped up. And they says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're taking your family home with us today. So we think, do we live down the street? We're going to take off of work today. And we want you, and the cop said to us, he says, now tell you what, I know where there's a junkyard across town, Brother Wright, he said, and I'm going to take you over there. All you need is a door. All you need is a door. I said, okay. So I taken my car on down to Ford Motors. I got in the car with the cop. And me and him drove over there. And he drove up. It was early in the morning. And he hollered at the fella and told him, the fella said, what kind of door he need? He says, he need one for a 56 Ford. And the cop says, I got one. The man says, I got one. And the cop says, send it down to Ford Motor. And that's what we did. And these folks were just lovely. I went back to the house, and they fed me. They watched over me. And they said, don't worry about getting back down there. When you get ready to go, we'll get you down there. They treated us like family, just good people. And, brethren, that's just one example of what I have seen. Folks that's really good. Now, I want to say this. You all of can identify with this story. Look at your mother, your grandparents, and your dad and your granddad. You have had folks in your life that are just great. Just great. They was really too good. Now let me tell you a little bit about hell. If you look at the scriptures, brethren, what the Bible says in regard to hell, and you see what the Bible says. Look at verse 13 and 14. Listen at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead that was within it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that was in them. And they was judged, each according to the works. Verse 4, death and hell gave up and cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. And it says in verse 15, anyone who is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And brethren, this is not something that will end today, tomorrow. It will last forever. And I've had folks say to me, matter of fact, I had a person that used to work with me. Said, Brother James, if what you say is right, you mean God don't love you? God gonna cast you into a lake of fire and that's gonna be forever? The God of heaven that you said loves everybody, he gonna sit there and look at you, burn forever? I said, that's punishment. There are some things God wants you, that you must do in order to be saved. The Bible says in verse 15 that anyone that was not found written in the book of life, that means God keep record. That's the second death. I talked about death last night. The first death is when Adam done what he done. The second death is when you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christ casts you away, separates you from himself forever. That's the second death. Now I tell folks this. Jesus said in John chapter, he said in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus come to and asked him, Lord, what must we do to be saved? In John chapter 3, when the word born again was mentioned, He wanted to know what must he do to be saved. And Jesus said, you must do what? Be born again. If you hasn't had the second birth, you was born physically. And if you don't be born spiritually, brethren, you're going to stand the second death. But there are some things that you have to do in order to be saved. That's conditional things that you have to do in order to be saved. Now, let me tell you, hell is an awful place. And that's what I want to talk to you about just a little bit. I want to tell you, define in Luke 16 about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus and the rich man. You find in the book of Luke, the Bible said they both lived, they both died, and they both was buried. And the Bible tells us that when they was buried, Lazarus was escorted into the bosom of Abraham. But the rich man was in the Hadean world. That's the realm of the unseen. And he looked up and he saw Lazarus. Somebody wanted to know, is the rich man, you mean he could see? Yes, he could see. The Bible says he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And that's when he called upon God, Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord. Then he said to the Lord, after a while after he talked, he asked the Lord to let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Read the whole story sometime, brother and sister. Cool my tongue. Then after he found out that wasn't possible, and he said, Lord, I got a request. He said, would you send Lazarus back to my father's house and let him teach him? He's a missionary too late. And that's when God told him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. He told him, I'm tormented in this flame. He told him, I don't want my family to come here while I'm at. I don't want them to do that. And I tell people this. When I was preaching that funeral in Nashville, I told them, I said, this man, my cousin, and your brother and sister here in the church, this man is not dead. Everybody looked at me funny. I told them what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. The body goes to the grave, but the man goes back to God who gave it. The Bible says he made man in his image. Brothers and sisters, once you're born in this world, whether you become a child of God or not, you'll never die. How conscious is one when they pass from this life into the next world? You're more conscious then than you now. That's right. You're conscious. You're conscious. When Lazarus was laying there, was arrested, and God told him, the Father told him, you remember in your lifetime. I says, how can a man remember? Your brain is better. Remember in your lifetime you had things good. And Lazarus didn't have nothing. But now, I'm paraphrasing if you please. He is resting and you're suffering. And I want to tell you this here. That was 2,000 years ago, before this book was finished, just the Bible. And guess what? He's still in the same place he was then. Can you imagine that? The devil, the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for good people. I didn't say they wouldn't go in there. A lot of folks says all you have to do to be saved is just be a good moral person. Now I want to tell you this. You can't be saved without being a good moral person. But that by itself will not do it. Now I'm going to call your attention to something. In Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Look at it if you please. In Acts chapter 10. We're going to talk about Cornelius a little bit. Cornelius. That's right. Cornelius was a man, the Bible says, he was a devout man. The Bible says he was a praying man. Look at Acts chapter 10. The Bible says he went out on the street and he gave much alms to the people. God took notice of his prayers. I had folks that said, well, you see how yelling, God don't hear an erring sinner. God don't. It means he don't answer it. But this was during the miraculous age. You can't go back there and imitate that. Now, but God took notice of it. And what he done was, had an angel that appeared to him. And the angel told him where to go to and what to do. And the angel told him to send it for Peter. Told him what he's saying. And guess what else? I ain't got time to go through everything. The angel also told him, God told him, Peter's address. Did y'all know God got your address? God told him. To send there for Peter and told him what to tell Peter. And that's when Peter, God let that sheet down to show Peter, to convince Peter. And when God let that sheet down, Peter looked at it in Acts 10, verse 34, 35, 36. Peter, God looked at it. And God told Peter, Peter said, Lord, I ain't never ate nothing uncommon or unclean. God done that three times. And God told him, Peter, don't call that common or unclean. Whatever I have cleaned, God told him that. I'm paraphrasing, brothers and sisters. Then when the angel, when he went there, the three men went there to Peter. And Peter come down over the housetop. The three men told Peter. And when Peter got to the house of Cornelius, Peter said, God has shown me. Oh, brother. You know that was a change difference between Jew and Gentile. Peter told him, said, you know, a long time ago, it was unlawful for a Jewish man to go into the house of a Gentile. But he said, God has shown me something. And so, Acts 11 and verse 14, and Peter wanted to know, what intent did you send for me? But in Acts 11 and verse 14, he told Peter, he told him that you hear the word of Peter. Tell thee words whereby thou and thy house can be saved. Peter taking some Jewish brethren with them. And the Holy Spirit fell down upon Cornelius and his household. Acts 10 and verse 48. And that's when Peter made that statement. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Why did God put the Holy Spirit fall down upon Peter? I tell folks when you're studying the Bible, brethren, always look at the context. The Holy Spirit fell upon Peter, but not for the same reason that it fell upon them, but not for the same reason it fell upon Peter, them in Acts 2. It fell upon Peter and them in Acts 2 to reveal his word, to guide him in his preaching. But why did it fall upon Cornelius and his family? It's to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that God had accepted other nations. Remember in Acts 15 and verse 9, God has made no difference between us, purifying their hearts by faith. You have to look at the context. All right. Now, I want to tell you this. Cornelius was a fine man. He prayed to God always, every third hour. He was devout. He was a praying man. He was a man that loved people, and he would go out and help them. And the Bible says all of the Jewish people thought well of him. But was he saved? Was he saved? When Peter goes to Acts 11 and verse 14, he shall tell thee words whereby thou and all the house can be saved. He wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. He was too good for hell, brethren. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Having good morals is wonderful. You can't go to heaven without it. Don't think you can do anything and go to heaven. But good morals by itself would not do the job. If you could just be saved by being a good person, then Jesus Christ was not needed. Good morals will not do your job. But brother, let me look at another one. Lydia in Acts 16, 14 and 15. There was a woman named Lydia. Now I'm going to tell you all about the story, but you're going to have to read it yourself. Time will not grant it. Paul was guided. God appeared to him in a vision. And Paul, Timothy, they went down there. Paul preached to Lydia. They was out by the riverbank having a worship service. Now listen at this. Acts 16, 14 and 15. Lydia was out there having, they said it was a place where worship was often made by people. And Lydia, a businesswoman, a seller of purpose, was out there. And Paul went out there and joined them. And the Bible says, God opened her heart. But if you read in that context, good, brethren, I used to have trouble with that. God opened her heart. You mean to tell me that God opened her heart, done it miraculously, and she become a Christian? No. Wouldn't it? How did God open her heart? The Bible says in that same context, he gave he. What is that? She listened. One translation said, one time I checked it, says she gave attention to the thing that was being preached. Brethren, the word of God will open your heart if you would just listen. Acts 26 and verse 18. I might preach on that one night. Just on that passage. When God called Paul to preach, and preach had to, Paul had to testify before the judge. Paul said he called him. And what did God tell him? I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. I might be talking about that one night. But anyway, what opened Lydia's heart? It was the preaching of the Word of God. Look at Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. And the woman was at night out there having service. What a fine lady that is. What a nice person that is. What a moral person that is. Brethren, if we could have went out there, we would have been looking at her praiseworthy. This lady's out here having service. She was out there having service. She was lost and didn't know it. You know, I preached on the lowest corner a while back. And one of the things I made mention of, the coin was lost and didn't know it. That's one of the points I made. This lady was lost and didn't know it. She was too good, though, for hell. I didn't say she wasn't going if she hadn't obeyed the gospel. But she was good. This is the type of woman that wouldn't lie to you, wouldn't steal from you, and wasn't immoral in no kind of way. She was really too good for hell, but not good enough for heaven. Not at this point. But she listened at Paul's preaching. Why did God want Paul to preach to her? God understood that she was lost. And Paul preached. And the Bible said, I was reading this morning, she gave heed. And one translation says she gave a teaching to what Paul was preaching. She obeyed the gospel. That's when she was made good enough for heaven. But let me tell you about another one. The eunuch. The eunuch. Think about it. In Acts chapter 8. Philip was down Samaria preaching. And there was a man returning from worship in Jerusalem. Riding along in a horse-drawn chariot. Reading the scripture. Can y'all imagine just how difficult that would be? To be riding along in a buggy and you reading the scripture. He was reading Isaiah 53. And God told Philip, go and join yourself to the chariot. And the Bible says, I noticed it, the Bible says Philip ran to it. He had to catch it up with the chariot. And Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what you read it? Don't try that, brother, right there. Get on you. Do you understand what you read it? I can just hear some of these smart alecks now. Who do you think you are? But they didn't. The eunuch says, how can I accept somebody help me? He asked for some help. And the Bible says, Philip preached Jesus unto him. He was reading Isaiah 53. He wanted to know, who is this man talking about? And the Bible said Jesus began at that same scripture Philip did and preached Jesus unto him. Let me tell you, brethren, just preach it. Always try to start where your students are at. If you apply for a school, you know what they'll do? They'll give you a test. Why do they give you a test? They want to find out where you are in your education. The Bible says Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When the Bible says that Apollos was mighty in the scripture, what are you talking about? Apollos is mighty and understand the prophecy that point to Jesus Christ. But Philip was talking about the gospel and its reality. And he preached unto him Jesus. Now listen at this, brethren, and then I'm going to make a statement. As he rode down the road, the unit of man of high authority, he understood. And he says, here is water. What does hinders me from being baptized? How did he learn about baptism? How did he learn that? He heard one sermon. That's all he learned. One sermon is all he heard. He says, what does hinders me from being baptized? Brothers and sisters, if you're here tonight, if you hadn't been baptized or scripturally baptized, I want to ask you right now, what is it that's hindering you from being baptized? What are you waiting for? Are you willing to take a chance on dying and going to hell and spend eternity in hell? What is you waiting on? What is holding you back from doing what God told you to do? When the unit says, here is water, what does hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may it. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How does faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Brethren, let me tell you, you don't have to know all the scriptures in the Bible in order to be saved. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Long time before they had a copy of the Bible. But look at this man. Now, brother, I take my hat off to him. Here's a man who have traveled 1,000 miles in a buggy to go to worship. He didn't know. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he'd go to Jerusalem to worship. But what did Jesus tell the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman thought she had been told that Jerusalem was the place to worship. Not so. He thought he was right. And you can tell how honest he was. When Philip asked him, do you understand it's what you're reading? He says, I need help. How can I accept something in him? And when he heard the gospel, he believed it, and he was baptized. Just remember that scripture. Acts 8. And we started verse 27 and read down. He was baptized. He was baptized. Now I want to ask you another question about it, and then I'm moving on. What had he died? Listen, what if he had died before Philip preaching to him? That's what preaching the gospel is all about. That's what Acts 26 and verse 28 and verse 14. The design of gospel preaching is what? Is to save. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. Brethren, let me ask you this. What if this unit had died? This was a fine man, brother. He had a responsible job. A job that's comfortable and compatible with the Secretary of the United States. Good job. And look at how far he traveled. Look at how far he came. Just to go to worship. And you know you can't hardly get folks to come around the corner now to go to church. I hear folks talking all the time. Look out for they have to go. Look at this man. But listen, what if he had died? Had he died, brethren, he couldn't have been saved. because the gospel was in force. Jesus didn't give but one plan for an alien sinner. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't be saved without it. Now, I'm going to give you another one. Not right quick here. I'm going to give you another one. And the next one is the rich ruler. The rich young ruler. Mark 10, Matthew 19. This man hadn't made it. I was before the New Testament come in force. The New Testament was not in force at the time that the rich young ruler, the Bible said, came running to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do?" Jesus was living under the law. The Mosaic law was still in force. And Jesus looked at him and told him, "You keep the law. That's what you have to do. You live under the law. You got to keep the law in which you live." Jesus got specific with it. Exodus chapter 20. And Jesus went through each act of the 10th commandment. And when Jesus had finished up, that young man, he was a man of means, he was a man of wealth. That young man said to Jesus in Matthew 19, when Jesus asked, he asked Jesus, "Lord, is there anything lacking in my life?" Oh, Jesus was looking at him. Jesus told him, "You keep the 10th commandment." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, all of these have I kept from my youth up." Oh, man. What a fine young man. He can say more than a lot of us, can't he? "All of these, Lord, have I kept from my youth up." I don't know who his parents was, but I know one thing. Somebody had been working with him. "All of these have I kept, Lord, from my youth up." And the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. "All of these have I kept." How many young men can you find today can make the same statement, sister, that this young man made? Hell was not designed for these kind of people. Hell was not designed for people with this kind of moral. "All of these, Lord, have I kept from my youth." But you know, sometime, are y'all listening? Sometime, you can ask questions and it'll get you in trouble. He asked a question. "Lord, what lack I yet? Is there anything in my life that I'm lacking that will give me gate problems?" "Lord, what lack I yet?" Let me ask you all tonight. Because every time I preach on something like this, I believe that I'm preaching to somebody need to ask that question. I want all of you to ask a question tonight. "Lord, is there anything that's lacking in my life? Is there something that I need to fix?" Ask yourself that question. If I would die right now, is there anything that I need to fix? Brethren, the man was a good, moral man in a lot of ways. And Jesus, somebody said, Brother James, how you know he didn't lack more? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, one thing you lack it. Now somebody want to add something to it? If anybody knew what he lacked, it's Jesus. Jesus said, one thing that I lack is. Good man. Man too good for hell. But he's not good enough for heaven. Listen to what Jesus told him. Go and sell what thou hast. Give it to the poor. Come. Take up your cross and follow me. Listen, brethren. Asking questions sometimes can get you in trouble. Jesus told him, you go and sell what you have. That's what Jesus commanded. It was the reason Jesus told him that. He didn't tell me what it was. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the things revealed belong to me. The things not revealed is God's secret. But think about this young man. Think about him. A man that was too good for hell, but not good enough for heaven. Look at Matthew. Chapter 19, verse 16, 17. And the scripture says, this man turned and walked away. The Bible says he walked away sad. Brave mister and brothers and sisters, this man turned and walked away. And when he walked away, you know one thing? He walked away from the only one that could save him. Somebody said, Brother James, he might have been in that group in Acts 2. I said, I don't know. The Bible don't say nothing about it. But the scripture did say, he turned and walked away. Who did he walk away from? He walked away from eternal life. He walked away from the only one that could save him. That's right. He walked away from the one that shed that precious blood. Peter said, you would not redeem the corruptible thing such as silver and gold from your conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul said, you're redeemed. That word redeemed carries the idea of being bought back. You've been redeemed. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Brethren, that's where it's at. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm in conclusion now. I'm going to tell you something. I have preached many years. And I've seen many people that walked away, that ought to have been coming up. I'm going to tell you about Brother and Sister Jewel. An older couple. Both of them retired. They went to the church that Brother Mills and I both was members of. We was very young people. Brother and Sister Jewel had kind of falling out of the church. That was during the age when institutionalism was pressing. And we was working with it. Brother and Sister Jewel. We started a sound church. Some of my first preaching was there. Brother Jewel was an older man living on South Main. And Sister Jewel. And Brother Mills and I was going around trying to get folks into the lowest church, and we were doing a pretty good job at it. And it's one Sunday afternoon. We was meeting then in a conservative church. Brother Mills and I went out And we went to their home. And we talked to Sister Jewel and Brother Jewel. And they had a ball game going. We sat there. And Sister Jewel said, "Well, I'm going. I want y'all to pick me up tonight. I'm going to your 6 o'clock service." Says, "I want you all to pick me up." We went back to pick her up, and we picked her up. Brother Jewel was supposed to be going back too. He said, "Brother James and Brother Mills, I want to tell y'all one thing. I want to go with you tonight. I'm coming back to the Lord. I ain't been to church for a long time, and I know it's not right. And I know what you all are preaching is the truth." We went back, and he says, "But I ain't going with you tonight." He says, "I'm going Wednesday night. And I want you all to stop and pick me up Wednesday night." Says, "The wife is going with you tonight. But I'm not going. I'm going Wednesday night." Well, it wasn't none for us to say, sister. "But Brother Jewel, I'll see you Wednesday night if none don't have him, Lord's willing." But guess what happened? Sister Jewel come back that night, walked up front, and says, "I want to confess I ain't been faithful. I've been out of the Lord's church. I ain't been to church for months." And she says, "I thank these brethren for coming and getting me. And my husband will be here Wednesday night. But he wanted to watch the football game." Guess what happened? On Monday night, Brother Jewel and Sister Jewel both was in the home sleeping. The house caught on fire. And they both was burned to death. Think about it. Think about it. I was back, brother, when we was getting enlightened. And I was coming down here hearing y'all preach. And I enjoyed that gospel. But listen. We went back, and you know what? The fume, the Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or something, that he's supposed to come and get himself straight. It was too late. Brother Jewel missed it. Had he come to church that Sunday night with Sister Jewel, look, it would have made the difference. He missed it just by a day or two. Had he lived another day or two, he'd have come to the church on Wednesday. And they'd have done what Sister Jewel done and been saved. Now I said all that to say this. I'm going to turn out here in a minute. Is it anybody here tonight? Had Brother Jewel done what he was planning on doing, what would happen? I'm planning on preaching on the prodigal son one night, but I ain't got a whole that long to preach. And the prodigal son made a good decision. Y'all heard know about that lesson? He left home, he come back, but he made a decision, "I'm going back to my father." But you know what he did? He put it in action. Listen to this. But what if he'd have died on the way home? The father looked out and he saw him a long ways off. And the Bible said the father met him, put his arm around him, hugged him, and loved him. And the prodigal son made that confession. I ain't going to talk too much about it because I'm going to preach on it one night, Mike. But listen to this. What if he died on the way? What if Brother Jewel had gotten up, cut that television off, and realized how important it was to make things right with God? Is anybody here tonight that need to come up front and says, "I've sinned, I've fallen short, and I want to confess my sin and ask the church to pray with me and for me"? You have to answer that question. If it's so, brothers and sisters, who leading our singing tonight? Come on up, brother. Listen. Come on up. I want you to lead that song. If you are here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, have sufficient courage to walk down the front aisle. Brother, I had a sister 2 Sundays ago, and I preached at Grace Day. 2 Sundays ago. She'd been in the church. I baptized her many years ago. And she said, Brother James, I want to make a confession. I said, what's the matter, sister? She said, I ain't been living right. I've done some things that will keep me out of heaven when I die. I said, would you pray for me and have a church to pray for me? I said, sure we are. Brother, we're going to sing the invitation song. And I want to tell you tonight, don't go home if you can't. If you're not prepared to die, don't go home in that shape. Come on up front. I don't care what you have done. The Bible says if you repent and confess that sin, He will forgive it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 89. All right, brother. Come, let us all stand.
Sing the...